Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
I have to say to you this morning that the passage of Scripture and the subject matter that I bring to you today is one that I wish with everything in me that I could avoid. I do not find any pleasure whatsoever in the judgment of God. But it is part of this book. And if we are going to study this book, and if we're going to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, then we have to spend some time realizing what is about to come into this world. Our subject today follows the previous two messages. If you remember, the first message was talking about the fall and rise of Israel, being a sign, according to the words of Jesus, a sign of the things that God was unfolding. Last Sunday, we talked about the rapture of the church, that blessed catching up, that Paul says we should encourage one another with these words. Amen. And today, we turn our attention to the Great Tribulation. What happens the day after the church is taken from this earth? Our study will take us into the book of Revelation. And I will say we begin this morning with the general acceptance that the book of Revelation is future. However, in verse number 19 of the first chapter, John unpackages those 22 chapters. In chapter 1, he addresses, "What have you seen?" In chapter 2, he will talk, or chapter 2 and 3, of what is now, that is the messages to the churches. And chapter 4 through 22, he describes that as what will take place later. I believe it's later. I believe we're close. Can't say how close. He keeps that pretty close to himself as to when, but I believe it's close. I will not at any point in time argue the timing with anybody concerning the coming of the Lord. I will easily state with you my position based upon the study that I have done over the last many, many years of God's Word. I believe that a pre-tribulation rapture is the way that the Scripture unpackages it. But at the same time, as I say, I won't argue it, because until it happens, we don't know. I do know this, that if the church is not raptured out before the tribulation starts, it's going to be one miserable time. Once these things begin, there are those who believe that the book of Revelation is simply a historical accounting of the church age. I have trouble with that because there are many, many things in there that have never happened. And we'll see a few of them this morning as we march through that 7 years of intense judgment from God, an increasing judgment. I want us to begin this morning where we started last Sunday and the Sunday before that, and that is in Matthew's Gospel, the 24th chapter. I believe there's slides, so you can, there they are. You can follow along with me, thanks to Lisa and her good work. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. For how dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Notice in verse number 21, for then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. Father in heaven, help us this morning as we study your word. May it come alive to us. May these things serve as a warning to us as we study, encourage us and strengthen us. Guide me as I try to unpackage this, O Lord. May your Holy Spirit help me. And may we gather the truth in Jesus' name. Amen. I will be speaking to you this morning the rest of the study from the book of Revelation, so if you want to make your way there, that would be beneficial. In chapter 4, verse number 1, we find a scripture that will parallel the things that we were talking about last Sunday. John writes, after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. The voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. So even as John is receiving this revelation on the island of Patmos, he is called heavenward in the spirit to see the unfolding of this tribulation period. Rather than looking at these things from an earthly perspective, he is looking at them from a heavenly perspective. I believe that's important because there are similarities to 1 Thessalonians 4 and other passages that talk about the rapture of the church. An open door in heaven, a voice sounding like a trumpet, the call, come up here. All of these things are reminiscent of the rapture of the church. So I believe that the Holy Spirit just sort of walked and is walking him through what will take place. The first scene that opens up when he gets to heaven, he says, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. One who sat there had the appearance of jasper, carnelian, a rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 thrones. Seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. By the way, that passage is very important. Verse number 4, because you will see throughout the book of Revelation that it talks about the 24 elders. He identifies who they are. These 24 elders are representative of the church because they are given white robes and crowns of gold, both things that are promised singularly in Scripture to the church, to those who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. You know, we take that cup and we drink it, but there is something powerful and significant that takes place. He's washed our garments. Hallelujah. When you get into heaven, you get a white one. It speaks of redeemed, washed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, what a day. Listen, I know, and I'm very understanding of the reality that is in us all, because we can't see. We're blinded by our humanity and by the bounds of this earth. We can't see what is on the other side of the curtain of death or of the rapture. And so it's difficult to go, yeah, let's go to heaven. But let me tell you something. If God knows how to take care of his children here on earth, can you imagine what he does when we drop this flesh and are in his kingdom, in his realm? It's going to be good. Real good. Can't tell you everything that's going to take place because he's kept a lot of it hidden. Boy, was it going to be good. Because we're going to be in the presence of God. John marches into the throne room. He sees this. They were dressed in white. They had crowns of gold on their head. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center and around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. And the first living creature was like a lion, and the second was like an ox. And the third had a face like a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Hallelujah! So there are these creatures, strange-looking creatures, eyes all over, that are encircling the throne and continually, day after day, 24 hours a day, are crying out of the holiness of God. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, O our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Hallelujah. So you catch this scene. Again, John comes heavenward. First place that he ends up is there in the throne room. He sees this glorious throne and all the beauty of heaven itself. And then he begins to notice this gathering around the throne. And there's this group of many-eyed creatures proclaim the holiness of God. Those seated on thrones rise up and take their crowns off and place them down before the king, because he is worthy of all the praise. Chapter 5 of the book of Revelation, and I know you're thinking, oh my goodness, there's 22 chapters, we'll never get out of here. But hold steady. In chapter 5, verses 1 to 14, unfolds an incredible scene, and I want to read it to you. If you read along with me, it'll help you to stay with me. Revelation chapter 5, "Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?' But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals.' Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." "And they sang a new song, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. With your blood, you purchased men for God, for every tribe, language and people and nation. You have made them a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000. And they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and glory and honor and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Hallelujah. I just want you to see that scene, that everything about our entrance in this glorious time of coming into the presence of the Lord is going to be about worship and praise and honor. You know, if you're sitting there this morning and it's down inside of you, go, "I don't know," then you may need to stop here before you go there. Because see, those that belong to the Lord, those that are reckoning with everything that He's done and is doing in their lives, they feel inadequate today in their praise. Were it not for the ability that the Holy Spirit gives to pray in the tongues of men and of angels, if you will, and praise the Lord in an unknown language, we would have no satisfaction at all because of the longing that is down inside the believer that is saying, "I want to be able to praise Him, and I'm inadequate. I don't have the right words. What do I say that lines up to the power and the glory of who He is?" Once we leave these bodies and leave this earth behind and step into His presence, we will be able to glorify Him and praise Him according to His worth. It's interesting, too, that we will be part of what He's doing. The unfolding, if you will, of the things that are to come will be in response to the stored up prayers of the people of God. They rise as incense to the Lord and they are held. Those prayers that say, "Oh God, won't you do something about all the pain and the sorrow and the hurt that's taking place in this world?" We would have Him to respond immediately, but what we have to understand is that there is a day of judgment that is appointed of God. He will judge this earth. He will judge all the wrong. He will stand against all the pain and all the sorrow and all the sickness. Those starving children and those that are unable to help themselves, and we cry out for them night and day. Those prayers are being held in heaven. You say, how come such atrocities unfold when God pours out His judgment upon this earth? It is because over the generations, the evil that has been in this world overtakes God. So why hasn't He stepped in? Why hasn't God done something? Well, where would He stop if He stepped in? If God began to judge the unjust, to judge the hurt and the pain and the sorrow, where would He stop? Where would He draw the line and say, "Okay, I will stop here"? No, He has appointed a day of judgment. You hear me? He has appointed a day, I should say, days of judgment for this world. And my friends, when it begins to happen, you don't want to be here. Because incredible things will happen in this earth. And I'm going to take just a couple of minutes and we're going to go through the unfolding of these 7 years. And I don't know how else to do this except for I'm going to be reading a great deal to you, so you can stay with me or you can go to sleep, whatever fits. But I can tell you this, I am giving you this today because the Holy Spirit has pushed me to do so. In Revelation chapter 6 and 7 and 8, we see the seals are opened. Now remember, no one was found worthy but the Lamb of God who had been slain from the foundations of the world. You say, how is that possible? That is that God intended to send Jesus from the moment of the first sin. He was ready to redeem. The Lamb of God, seated on the throne, takes the book, which is the book of the scroll of last things and of the judgments of God, and he breaks the first seal. And when the first seal is open, a horse comes forth. You've heard about the four horses of the apocalypse. These are the horses. We don't know. And you can speculate, and please don't run to me after the service and give me brother such and such's opinion. I've read and seen most of them. I would be glad to sit down and discuss anything with you, but don't try to change me today, please. First seal is open and the first horse comes forth, a white horse and its rider. The rider, it says, is bent on conquest. This is the Antichrist. As the 7 years of tribulation begin, the Antichrist will rise up. It won't be in a day. There will be an increasing of power that will take place, particularly during the first 3.5 years. But I believe you would agree with me this morning that our world is looking for somebody. If someone comes on the scene and has a viable answer to many of the woes that are taking place in our world, people will jump and embrace. And particularly if you put it on the other side of the snatching away of the church. If you can imagine with me the chaos that will ensue as the rapture takes place. Again, two will be sleeping in a bed, one will be taken, the other one left. Two will be grinding in a mill, one will be taken and the other left. Incredible chaos will ensue. There will be world leaders who are believers who will be gone. And this world will be in search for someone who has an answer. The Antichrist will step forward. I think it's interesting to note that there has always been the possibility, because Satan doesn't know the day or the hour any more than we do. So in other words, people say, well, you know, I think the Antichrist is on earth today. Well, I believe that there have been Antichrists on the earth since the day Jesus left this earth and John the Revelator gave the revelation. The enemy has had an individual that he could turn to and empower to be the Antichrist from the very beginning. He's not omniscient, the devil. He doesn't know the day or the hour any more than we. And so he is waiting. And when the rapture of the church takes place, he'll know. He'll know that his days are numbered and he will send forth all the power that he can muster to do damage on this earth. You know, contrary to what some unbelievers would say, he's not preparing a party in hell. The second seal is broken and the second horse comes forth. It's a red horse, war. Power is given him to take peace from the earth. This, of course, will be part of all the chaos that will take place leading up to the empowerment of the Antichrist. A third seal is broken and the third horse comes forth, a black horse, famine. It is described like this, two different ways, but both of them add up to this, that it will take a whole day's wage to buy one meal. But then he says, but don't damage the oil or the wine. This is significant of the fact that there will still continue to be wealth and riches at the same time that the vast majority of people around the world will be in famine and hurting. The fourth seal is broken. The fourth horse comes forth. a green or pale horse comes forth, death begins to reign. Now listen to this. These are in the opening days of this 7-year period of time, and it says 1/4 of all the people on earth will be killed. We can't say how many will be taken out of the rapture. I wish we'd all been ready. But let's take the 8 million people or the 8 billion people that are on earth. 1/4 would be 2 billion people that will be killed in just the opening days of the tribulation period. Most believe that it will be a result of this famine and also of the wars that will take place. 2 billion people. The fifth seal is broken, and John sees the souls of the martyrs under the altar. It seems, if you look through the book of Revelation, that the only method of getting into heaven from the tribulation period will be through martyrdom. You may want to rethink the whole thing of having confidence that you could last out through the tribulation period if you miss the rapture. You know, go ahead and play it loose and free today, because if I miss the rapture, well, you know, I can make it out. I'll just do real good during the tribulation period and the Lord will accept me into heaven. Yes, there will be people. There will be people who are saved out of this world, but if you look, they will be martyred. And I would venture to say, if you can't live for Jesus today, you're not going to be able to die for Him. Especially when they come around and they say that you've got to take the number of man in order to be fed or to work. When you see things collapsing around you, it will be very difficult to stand fast. I do believe that many of those who will be saved out of the rapture are people who have sat in churches Sunday after Sunday and who will realize and reckon with what actually took place. Maybe it will be some husbands whose wives went in the rapture, or wives whose husbands went in the rapture, and they will realize they blew it. They missed it. The sixth seal is broken and the day of divine judgment comes. Earthquake. Sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red. The stars in the sky fall to the earth as late figs drop from a fig tree. Every mountain and island is moved from its place. Kings and generals, rich and slave, hide in the rocks and in the mountains. The angel of the Lord places a seal on 144,000 Jewish people. And the angel cries out. You see here another great time of worship that is seen before the throne as those who have been saved out of the tribulation period, martyred, make it into heaven. There is a multitude which no one could count of every tribe, nation, people, and language, and they're wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hand. Revelation 7:13 says, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white by the blood of the Lamb." Again, they were martyred. The seventh seal is opened, and seven trumpets sound. You will note that judgment is now being intensified. The first trumpet, hail and fire mixed with blood, is hurled upon the earth, and 1/3 of all the trees and green grass are burned up. The second trumpet sounds, something like a huge mountain all ablaze is thrown into the sea, and 1/3 of the sea turns to blood. 1/3 of the living creatures in the sea die, and 1/3 of the ships of the sea are destroyed. The third trumpet is sounded, and a great star like a torch falls from heaven, and 1/3 of the rivers and fresh water is turned bitter. The fourth trumpet is sounded, and a third of the sun is struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars are struck and turned black. A third of the day and a third of the night are without light. And at the end of chapter 8, there are three woes. The worst is yet to come. The fifth trumpet is sounded, and Satan is thrown out of heaven. He's given a key to the abyss, and he opens it, and demons like scorpions are released on the earth with power to torment but not kill men. Locusts will come forth, and they're given power to sting and torment people for 5 months. The sixth trumpet is sounded, and four angels are released from heaven to go about the earth. They're given power to kill a third of mankind. In Revelation 12, 15, and 16, you have the seventh trumpet that sounds, and seven bowls that are poured out. One thing that is important to note, that up to this period of time, it was always a portion, a third, a fourth. But as the vials begin to be poured out, it says they are poured out on all the earth. So where there were pockets leading up to this, the judgment intensifies. Revelation 16:1, then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth. The first bowl is poured out, and sores come upon all those who have the mark of the beast. The second bowl is poured out upon the sea, and the entire sea becomes blood. The blood as dead men, it says. The third bowl is poured upon the rivers in fresh water, and the angel proclaims the justice of this action. True and just are your judgments, O God. And the fourth vial, the sun is given greater intensity, and men are scorched by the sun and cry out curses to the name of God, and they refuse to repent. The fifth bowl is poured out in darkness and sores. Men gnawed on their tongues in agony, but they refuse to repent. The sixth bowl is poured out, and the Euphrates River is dried up, which is significant because the armies from the east begin to march toward Jerusalem. Demons come forth, and the Antichrist convinces the kings of the earth to come to the great battle of Armageddon. The seventh bowl is poured out into the air. And a great voice out of the temple in heaven pronounces that it is done. Voices, thundering, lightning, earthquakes. Earthquakes greater, it says, than have ever happened before. The earth convulses. Babylon is split into three parts. Islands flee away. Mountains are brought down. 100-pound hail falls from the sky. And men blaspheme God as it's all happening. Wow. It's not a good picture. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? Whew. I don't want to be here. I don't want you to be here. Let me give you another heavenly scene. Because while all of the judgment is being poured out on the earth, those who have chosen the Lamb, those who have chosen Jesus, will be in heaven. And after this, is that the one? There we go. Everybody say hallelujah. Yeah. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting. Thank you. I'll do it one more time. Yes. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments. He's condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged her the blood, avenged on her the blood of his servants. And again they shouted, the smoke from her goes up forever and ever. You understand? You know, God hasn't turned a blind eye to those who have given their lives for the gospel. The blood of precious saints that was spilled because of the name of Jesus, those even this very day, because every 7 minutes someone's being martyred right now. You understand that? Every 7 minutes somebody is dying because of Jesus. And he's taking notes. Don't you know that the justice of God is crying out? Seeing all the horrible things that are happening in this world, seeing all of the pain, seeing all of the sickness, seeing all of the death, seeing all of the martyrs, those that proclaim the name of Jesus. Justice is crying out. And one of these days, just what he said, he's condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. And those in heaven again shouted, Hallelujah. And the smoke from her goes up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne. And they cried, Amen. Hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants who fear him, both small and great. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, like the loud peals of thunder, shouting. Hallelujah. Come on, this is practice. We're doing choir practice now, okay? Let me try that one more time. Praise and honor all you, his servants, you who fear him, both small and great. And then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, like the loud peals of thunder, shouting.
Hallelujah.
Much better. For the Lord our God reigns. Amen. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. Then the angel said to me, Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, These are the true words of God. And at this I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, Do not do it. I'm a fellow servant with you, with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Hallelujah. We're going to have communion. We're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Glory. Horrible, horrible things are going to be happening here on earth. But in heaven, there will be rejoicing. There will be glory. There will be honor given to the King of Kings. You know, I got a feeling that we're going to finally really reckon with what our redemption truly means. When our salvation is complete and we're there in his presence, we're going to finally own the reality of what it means to belong to him. I got a feeling there'll be a few people there going, Whew. Huh? Made it. You hear it by the skin of your teeth? You ever hear that one? I didn't know teeth could have skin, but I've heard people say that. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last. Ever to rejoice. That's what I want for you. I want you to be gathered. I want us to be gathered around the throne. It's been my privilege over the last 37 years to be a pastor to thousands of people. Thousands of people. I want to see them all gathered. That's the heart of any shepherd. You know, every Sunday morning, one of the reasons why I sat where I sat is so that I can look out and see. And I tell you this because it's honestly true that I'm looking for the ones that aren't here. That's what Jesus said. He said the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes looking for the one. Can't help it. It's just something about the ones that are lost, the ones that are out wandering, the ones that are out doing something else. I can't imagine what that day will be like for the Lamb of God. Because see, he will know of all those who had the opportunity to be there in the throne room and are lost. And though we will leave behind the agonies of this world and the sorrow and all of the pain, he who knows everything will be there on the throne reckoning with all of those who rejected him, who rejected his name, who rejected salvation, who wanted to play more than they wanted heaven. I can't imagine the agony of the shepherd on that day. That even as we who are redeemed and are standing around the throne rejoicing, I know that the shepherd Jesus loves you. This is not just about escaping the horrors of the tribulation period. This is about being right there with the one who gave everything so that you could be there. Church, Jesus is worth more than just a casual Sunday morning look. He's worthy of our lives. I know it's hard listening to this. I know and I understand listening to somebody read and go through everything. But know this. One of these days, that message will be preached for the last time. One of these days, Jesus is coming. And he said it over and over again. Look through the teachings of Jesus in the four Gospels. Over and over again, he talks about the separation, sheep from goats, weeds from, no. There will be a separating. Today's the day. That's what Paul said. Today is the day of salvation. Don't let another day go by, but get your life right with Jesus. Know that you're going to be in heaven while all of the horror is going on this earth. You do that by coming to this altar and saying, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe that you died upon the cross for my sins. And I want you to be in charge of my life from this time forward. You're not playing a game. You're giving your life to the one who bought and paid for that life on Calvary. And then I must say, your life will be different from that point forward if you really, truly choose Jesus. Your choices will be different. Your life will be different. Not because your holiness will get you into heaven, but because you are going to heaven. Because you belong to Jesus, your life is different. Paul says it this way, created in Christ Jesus unto good works.